Think, Level 3. Published by Cambridge University Press, 2015. This recording is copyright. Literature 1A. David Copperfield by Charles Dickens. Exercise 2.
"Mr. Murdstone, sir," I cried to him. "Don't beat me. I have tried to learn, sir, but I can't learn while you and Miss Murdstone are by. I can't indeed."
"Can't you indeed, David?" he said. "We'll try that."
It was only a moment that I stopped him, for he cut me an instant afterwards, and in the same instant I caught the hand with which he held me in my mouth, between my teeth, and bit it through. He beat me then as if he would have beaten me to death. Above all the noise we made, I heard my mother crying out, and Peggotty. Then he was gone, and the door was locked outside, and I was lying, fevered and hot, and torn, and sore, and raging upon the floor. It had begun to grow dark, and I had shut the window when the key was turned, and Miss Murdstone came in with some bread and meat and milk. These she put down upon the table without a word, glaring at me, and then retired, locking the door after her. Long after it was dark, I sat there, wondering whether anybody else would come. When this appeared improbable, I undressed and went to bed, and there I began to wonder what would be done to me, whether it was a criminal act that I had committed, whether I should be taken into custody and sent to prison, whether I was in danger of being hanged. I never shall forget the waking next morning, the being cheerful and fresh for the first moment, and then the being weighed down by the dismal oppression of remembrance. Miss Murdstone reappeared before I was out of bed, told me, in so many words, that I was free to walk in the garden for half an hour. I did so, and did so every morning of my imprisonment, which lasted 5 days. On the last night, I was awakened by hearing my own name spoken in a whisper. I started up in bed and said, "Is that you, Peggotty?" "Yes, my own precious Davy," she replied. "Be as soft as a mouse, or the cat will hear us." I understood this to mean Miss Murdstone, and was sensible of the urgency of the case, her room being close by. "How's Mama, dear Peggotty? Is she very angry with me?" I could hear Peggotty crying softly on her side of the keyhole as I was doing on mine before she answered. "No, not very." "What is going to be done with me?" "School, near London," was Peggotty's answer. "When, Peggotty?"
"Tomorrow."
"Shan't I see Mama?"
"Yes,"
said Peggotty.
"Morning."
In the morning, Miss Murdstone appeared as usual. She informed me that I was to come downstairs into the parlour and have my breakfast. There I found my mother, very pale and with red eyes, into whose arms I ran and begged her pardon for my suffering soul.
"Oh, Davy," she said, "that you could hurt anyone I love. Try to be better. I forgive you, but I am so grieved, Davy, that you should have such bad passions in your heart."
They had persuaded her that I was a wicked fellow, and she was more sorry for that than for my going away. I tried to eat my parting breakfast, but my tears dropped upon my bread and butter and trickled into my tea. I saw my mother look at me sometimes, and then glance at the watchful Miss Murdstone, and then look down, or look away.
"Master Copperfield's box there," said Miss Murdstone.
I looked for Peggotty, but neither she nor Mr. Murdstone appeared. My former acquaintance, the carrier, was at the door. The box was taken out to his cart and lifted in.
"Clara,"
said Miss Murdstone in her warning note.
"Ready, my dear Jane," returned my mother. "Goodbye, Davy. You are going for your own good. Goodbye, my child. You will come home in the holidays and be a better boy."
"Clara!"
Miss Murdstone repeated.
"Certainly, my dear Jane," replied my mother, who was holding me. "I forgive you, my dear boy."
Miss Murdstone was good enough to take me out to the cart and to say on the way that she hoped I would repent before I came to a bad end. And then I got into the cart, and the lazy horse walked off with it.